Now, according to Diabetes Australia, up to 50% of diabetics are thought to also have a mental illness, such as depression or anxiety. And while there are some resources available, it seems that more awareness and a greater push for mental support is very much needed. And I'm joined on the line by counsellor and psychotherapist Will Bonney to bring some clarity to this issue. Will, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Pleasure, Julia. Thank you.
No problem at all. So 50% of diabetics is quite a high percentage. What would you say are the major contributing factors to this statistic?
Indeed, it is a high number, and it's estimated to be about four times the national average. Some of the contributors are that obviously diabetes is what's known as a chronic illness, meaning that it is with you 24 hours, 7 days a week. There is no holiday from it. The theoretical model is that if you take the right amount of insulin, do a bit of exercise and eat the right food, that you will be able to establish optimal blood glucose levels. But unfortunately, there are so many variables that it's a real challenge to be able to maintain optimal blood glucose levels. So as a result, people kind of fall into a state of learned helplessness. Regardless of how much engagement with their condition they have, they still find that they're unable to maintain those optimal glucose levels. So that's the first contributor. The second is that, obviously, this is a condition that requires engagement of the individual on an ongoing and regular basis. And so that, of course, impedes regular living. Our quality of life is impeded because we're needing to check out glucose levels, we're needing to take insulin shots, watch what we're eating. So it just has a number of challenges that the normal individual, the fully healthy, non-diabetic person, isn't experiencing.
Right. Okay. And so, you know, young people aren't, you know, may just be becoming aware of their mental health. How can young people with type 1 diabetes be better educated about what they're going through and better equipped to navigate this?
Well, I think one of the greatest contributors here is that the medical model, and let me be very clear, we all need doctors, and doctors are wonderful, they're marvellous. But the medical model approaches diabetes as being a simple condition to maintain, and that's not the case. And so at every point where a young person in particular is engaging with the medical community, they're being told, well, you are doing a bad job, or you're not working hard enough, you're not doing the right things. There's a whole lot of judgment involved in living with diabetes, right down to, you know, when you check your glucose level, you're told that's a good reading or that's a bad reading. Mm. So one of the approaches that I take with the people I work with is to reframe that, to understand that we are doing our best, and that if we do our best, then that's the best we can hope for. The threat of long-term complications with diabetes is something that's talked about very often by the medical community, which shifts our focus to every time we check a glucose level and it's not good, you know, it kind of increases in our head the likelihood that I'm going to end up losing a limb or having a heart attack or going blind. And so the reframing, the understanding that we are doing our best, that there is no judgment. A glucose level is not good or bad. It simply tells me what I need to do next. So assisting people to normalize their diabetes and to understand that we need to have a quality of life that is more than just our diabetes is really helpful. So I suppose that my approach here is to take some of the focus away from the theoretical what is good, what is bad, and focus more on the individual holistically to help them live their life while alongside that, engage with their diabetes.
Sure. And so what are some other resources that are available currently to people living with diabetes?
There are a few resources available, of course. I know that Diabetes Australia has some very good healthcare professionals that can assist people with the psychosocial side of diabetes. There are a number of research studies at the moment trialing some online psychoeducation tools. One of those is being trialled by the Black Dog Institute at the moment. I'm also involved with a group who are developing a tool that will, it's modular based and will walk people through some simpler ways of engaging with their diabetes, understanding the impact on mental health. Again, to take some of the focus away from the theoretical medical model and to normalize what it's actually like, the challenges involved in living with diabetes.
Sure. I mean, it's such a multifaceted issue. Mental health is still taboo in some communities. So I can't imagine dealing with, you know, having diabetes and then dealing with that, compounding that. That would just be too much. But thank you, Dr. Bonnie, for your time today. And obviously, it's an area that needs some more work and awareness. And you've brought us greater clarity. So thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. And thanks for your interest in this topic.
Thank you. Bye.